Mr. Lavrov, should President Saakashvili go?
I'm sure Saakashvili can no longer be a responsible partner in talks because everything this man has been saying recently doesn't correspond to a single fact. As for the political assessments he makes based on lies he tells daily, they're absolutely disturbing. I'm sure he is a provocator. The man who traitorously gave orders to start the mass shelling of cities with multiple rocket launchers, to make artillery strikes and airstrikes on civilian areas of Tsikhinvali, speaks from TV screens, showing off with an EU flag in the background, saying he was defending American values here. I believe it is obvious to everyone that these statements are cynical. Those who try to defend him understand that it is a losing game.
Who is the contact person in Georgia then? If Georgia remains a party in the talks, if you do not see Saakashvili as a negotiator?
Sometimes this question has no answer at all. For example, yesterday, a need emerged to have another conversation with the Georgian foreign minister, Tkeshelashvili. We've been in contact over the last days on the phone. Yesterday, it took several hours to get her at least on one of the phone numbers of the Georgian foreign ministry. We talked with her. So we have communications channels. And my deputy is in constant contact with his counterpart in the Georgian foreign ministry. So we keep talking.
Mr. Lavrov, concerning Georgia's territorial integrity and the future status of South Ossetia and Abkhazia, Russian Deputy Prime Minister Sergei Ivanov, when speaking with the BBC, said that it could be discussed. So the issue is not out of the scope of discussions?
Of course, when Mikhail Saakashvili became president for the first time, his means of coming to power in Georgia was quite original. Not through elections, it was in 2003. From his first days as president, he has been saying his goal is to reinstate Georgia's territorial integrity. In other words, to settle conflicts in South Ossetia and Abkhazia that go back to the past and deep into history. You can see how it has all been developing. But what caused the situation in recent years originates from decisions by the first president of an independent Georgia after the collapse of the Soviet Union. It was Mr. Gamsakhurdia who issued a motto, Georgia for Georgians. He sent Georgian troops to Sukhumi and Tsikhinvali when he was annoyed by the Abkhazian South Ossetian protest against his decision to abolish their autonomies. The war started. You know what happened next. The Georgian troops were dislodged. And peacekeeping mechanisms were agreed then with the help of Russia, who paid with the blood of their soldiers for that. Peacekeeping and negotiating structures and mechanisms were agreed. We hope that would allow decision-making that would help preserve Georgia as a single state. At the same time, they provided for the rights and freedoms of South Ossetians and Abkhazians, based on the principles of autonomies. The fact that Mr. Saakashvili has tried many times to get rid of these negotiating mechanisms, violated agreements reached in this framework, and made attempts to settle the conflicts by force speaks for itself. As for methods today's leader of Georgia uses to fulfill his mission of gatherer of Georgian lands, I have brought a quotation with me. One of the journalists told me that Saakashvili was speaking live on February 25, 2006. He said, I will not give orders to launch a military operation. I do not want any people to die because the repercussions of blood spilled in the Caucasus will last not only for decades, but for centuries. We will reach the goal through talks and consultations. So it's clear he told a lie. But one thing he got right. The consequences will last for centuries, not decades. So we can now start counting centuries from August 8, 2008. The wounds Saakashvili has inflicted are deep, and the healing process will be long. What we've kept telling Mr. Saakashvili all these years is that he should learn to speak patiently and respectfully to the people whom he considers to be his citizens, whom he considers to be his compatriots. He has definitely failed to do that. You know what he has done instead? Mr. Saakashvili is causing great damage not only to South Ossetians and Abkhazians, but also to Georgians, his own people, if ethnic terms are to be used. What did he do for the Georgian state as a result of this adventure? Before that, Georgian enclaves in South Ossetian territory, in spite of all the problems and difficulties. Georgian people used to live there. The peacekeeping forces included a Georgian battalion alongside a Russian and South Ossetian one. He was really present in South Ossetia. He could have used it to increase trust and dialogue and communication on how to settle those problems together. Such an agreement was reached at the Joint Control Commission a year and a half ago on forming a joint South Ossetian working group to develop the settlement plan. Then he just cancelled that agreement. He could have worked honestly within the existing format, which would have definitely taken a long time, but it was the only way towards any kind of resolution. Instead of that, he secretly formed reinforced regions within those Georgian enclaves in South Ossetia. In essence, he was preparing the campaign which he began last Friday. We all know the results. The campaign failed. But during the campaign, the Georgian peacekeepers acted like traitors. They started shooting at the Russian peacekeepers.
They proved? Were they really peacekeepers?
Yes, those were the peacekeepers. There is nothing to prove there. When it all started on the night of the 8th of August, the Russian military were urgently trying to get a hold of any Georgian authorities. They were able to catch the Georgian deputy defense minister. They asked him what was going on. At that time, bombs were falling on Skenvali, and he replied, "We've declared war on Ossetia, and we're going to restore the constitutional order." Immediately after that, the commander of the Georgian battalion, as a part of the joint peacekeeping forces, announced that they had joined the operation of restoring the constitutional order, and they started shooting at their brothers in arms. Now we cannot imagine Georgian peacekeepers will appear in South Ossetia again. As far as I know, the majority of Georgians have escaped from the enclaves in Ossetia. The Ossetian residents are obviously willing to take revenge, which would be absolutely wrong. The president and defense minister have given strict orders to avoid any kind of violence towards the citizens.
Are the Russian troops now responsible for this prevention of revenge attacks in South Ossetia?
South Ossetia has its own authorities.
Mr. Lavrov, you said that it's impossible now to support any documents that mention the territorial integrity of Georgia within its internationally recognized borders.
In both cases, Georgia de facto hasn't been in control of the territories of South Ossetia and Abkhazia, being just a party in the negotiations over settlement of those crisis situations. Thus, de facto, the territorial integrity of Georgia is limited because of those conflicts. And this issue could be resolved only by looking for a mutually acceptable solution to those crisis situations.
A meeting is planned in Sochi between the German Chancellor and the Russian President. Yesterday, her representative stated that there are no doubts about the Georgian territorial integrity and there are no discussions about the legitimacy of the elected President Saakashvili. How can the negotiations be held from such different starting positions of President Medvedev and Chancellor Merkel?
You know, those were the words of the German Chancellor. She's the one who has no doubts about the Georgian territorial integrity. But President Saakashvili has put it in question. I even believe that he's caused enormous damage to it. Let me emphasize that it will take a very long time to overcome the consequences of what he has done. I've just quoted his own words that it would take decades, if not centuries. He said it, not me. As a representative of the Caucasus, he understands it. He knows how long the people of the Caucasus remember the spilled blood.
I saw the document of 1994 describing the membership of joint peacekeeping forces. They were all different. Does it mean the document has to be changed now, as it doesn't work anymore? It describes in details one Russian battalion, one Georgian and one Ossetian. Another question. Yesterday, the EU ministers suggested sending observers from the EU to monitor the ceasefire. Some ministers were saying that now the Georgian battalion is gone, let's send a third one from the European Union. What's your opinion on it?
There are two aspects to it. Concerning the agreements, there were several of them in 1991 and then in 1994, and there was also a memorandum in 1996. They really do describe the procedure of the peacekeeping work on the basis of three battalions. We cannot leave that agreement. It must have been the will of those who'd signed it, but for some reason it doesn't indicate the validity period and the ways of leaving it. The Georgian battalion had simply refused to fulfill its obligations. It had deserted, and more so, it has broken its oath. And those remaining there as peacekeepers, including the Russian battalion, will never act that way, and they will faithfully fulfill their obligations. Concerning the further peacekeeping efforts and mechanisms, those principles which Presidents Medvedev and Sarkozy have approved in Moscow on Tuesday do provide for it. In addition to the Russian peacekeepers, we have to agree on the additional international mechanisms. Additional as both Abkhazia and South Ossetia already have those international mechanisms. In Abkhazia, the UN Observer Mission has been working alongside peacekeepers from the CIS. It's quite a large and efficient structure, which has been working very closely with the CIS peacekeeping forces. And South Ossetia has the OSCE mission. It's not large, it's about 10 people. Its headquarters are located in Skinvali. By the way, the OSCE headquarters building was also bombed, whether intentionally or accidentally. I would not make any ungrounded accusations.
Are you against an international peacekeeping force like one from the European Union?
It has to be agreed upon by the parties, first of all by South Ossetia, as they were the object of the aggression. The agreements mentioned by you include the maximum numbers of the peacekeepers in South Ossetia. Everything is possible within those numbers, including the increase of the Russian peacekeepers. As we've discussed with the French delegation and other partners, German ones in particular, we will be willing to support the direction of the additional observers in the conflict zone. Talking of the peacekeeping operation and of the monitoring of the ceasefire and of the Security Council, our French colleagues have already begun their work in New York. Its purpose is to maintain those principles approved by Presidents Medvedev and Sarkozy, and which the two presidents have offered to the parties for signing. We have assumed the function for obtaining the signatures from South Ossetia and Abkhazia, since it's talking about Abkhazia as well. And our French colleagues are working to obtain the signature of the Georgian authorities. As you may have seen in the shots from Tbilisi at the rally, President Saakashvili stated in his speech that he supported those principles. However, the trouble is that he hasn't signed them. And Presidents Medvedev and Sarkozy have clearly challenged the parties to sign the principles. Thus, we have been trying to find out the reason for the delay. But unless the document is signed by all the parties, there's definitely nothing to approve.
Concerning the Security Council, what do you expect from the resolution? What kind of mandate? What would you want to see in the Security Council resolution?
It has to be very plain. It just has to support and back those principles which had been formulated on the 12th of August. Before that, the parties have to put their signatures to it. They have to physically sign the document.
In this connection, I'd like to ask about your opinion of the United States. First, it was said that the U.S. urged Saakashvili to drag Russia into the conflict. Later, you said, correct me if I'm wrong, that the American partners had tried to restrain Saakashvili's radical actions. So, what's the reality?
We've been working in this direction for quite a long period of time. When the Americans launched their train and equip program for the Georgian army in 2002, our representatives asked our American partners whether they were not afraid that the trained and equipped Georgian armed forces could be used for attempts to solve conflicts by force. We were assured that the Americans wouldn't let that happen. In the years that followed, provocations kept occurring in South Ossetia and Abkhazia. 3 years ago, in the summer of 2005, Mikhail Saakashvili made his first attempt to start a war in South Ossetia. But that attack was thwarted quickly and didn't assume such a scale. Every time we reminded our American partners about our fears. We were told that Washington was constantly working with Tbilisi, restraining it from adventurous actions. Our last conversation on this subject took place a month ago, soon after Ms. Rice returned from Tbilisi, which she had visited on July 10th, and we were again given such assurances. I think that the Americans really did that job, but they apparently underestimated the militant nature of the Georgian leader and the degree of his adventurism.
How do you assess the current position of the U.S. leadership? President Bush made a rather strong-worded statement, while Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice was even stronger in her remarks. She said that Russia's actions were pushing it into isolation. So what, why, and what for?
Но понимаете, это я вчера уже имел возможность кратко.
I already gave a brief comment yesterday. Well, it's an open secret. Western analysts have been writing about it, that the current Georgian leadership is a special political project of the United States. And of course, it must be hurtful to see your protege making such a sleazy performance. They must be sorry about the whole project, the efforts that were made and the money that was invested. Humanly, the US can be understood. It has made huge investments, and the feedback can be seen as soon as Mikhail Saakashvili appears on TV screens. It's enough for him to open his mouth to make us understand whom we're dealing with. So as a person, I can understand the United States. But a choice will have to be made. It is either to throw everything into this virtual project or to accept that the world is much more complicated and there are more complicated situations in other parts of the world in which it would be impossible to avoid partnership with Russia and in which it would be necessary to cooperate with it. Therefore, I personally don't see how they are going to ignore or isolate us. I've heard threats that Russia won't be admitted to the WTO. But we are becoming more convinced that we won't be admitted to it anyway. They pull our leg all the time. They sign a bilateral protocol and we think that the deal is done. But then all of a sudden new problems emerge. We've talked about our stance on the WTO many times. Our president and the prime minister have stressed that we would like to join the organization but only on mutually beneficial and standard terms.
Do you think the Americans have been
misinformed?
Yes, they have been misinformed. There is another aspect to it. It's very important because all CNN broadcasts yesterday were based on it. On the other side of the town of Gori, Russian reconnaissance units found a huge ammunition depot. It was a huge arsenal of military hardware, including 15 tanks and armored vehicles, trucks of ammunition and explosives, let alone firearms. They were totally unguarded. There wasn't a single person around, and all the weapons were just lying around, ready for use, including tanks ready for combat. It's clear it would have been insane to see all that and just turn and go away. Naturally, our servicemen are now getting rid of these arsenals. I don't know what they're going to do with it, but leaving all that stuff just lying unattended in the open air was simply impossible. But we cannot tolerate a situation when any citizen with bad intentions or just a crank can get into a tank and start shooting innocent people. The same kind of ammunition depot was found near the town of Sinaki, so Russian soldiers decided to move the tanks away from Gori. As they were pulling out of the town, their movement was immediately reported, and CNN began trumpeting to the whole world the hottest news that the Russian tanks were advancing on Tbilisi. In reality, the things were just as I have described them to you. When we announced that there was no government in Gori and the local residents had been abandoned, Mr. Lamai, the chairman of the Georgian National Security Council, arrived in Gori from Tbilisi. He brought two people with him, saying that they would represent the authorities in Gori. They talked to the commander of our army units near Gori. I think our troops gave them a shelter for the night. So there is no hostility towards the Georgian people. We want to continue being friends with the Georgians and get real pleasure from that friendship. I hope we will eventually return to this friendship. I've talked about the CNN and their practices. I think our PR media campaigns are far from being perfect. I think when our troops approached Gori and saw what was happening there, we ought to have announced the town of Gori was absolutely empty and deserted and that there were no officials there. We had to draw attention to the fact that Georgian authorities should send their representatives to Gori who would perform their functions. But our servicemen just did their job. They helped the local residents. Then they began dismantling that dangerous ammunition depot. But the other side is making black PR on the basis of unconfirmed facts. A couple of days ago, CNN showed us breaking news that the Russian army had entered Tbilisi. And it was only hours later, after all the information had been checked, that CNN reported those tanks were in fact units of the Georgian army returning from the battlefield.
Are you planning to meet Condoleezza Rice?
We have regular contacts with Condoleezza Rice. We've had at least 5 telephone conversations with her since Friday. They were open and sincere. I said we've been having regular contacts since Friday, but it's actually from Sunday. She didn't ask for any contacts on Friday when we had to deal with unpleasant things. There is no reason for interrupting the dialogue with the United States. Our agenda is broad. We're working together with the United States, and the fact that this micro-conflict, as the French foreign minister put it, overshadowed all other contacts is not our choice. This conflict is over. The only thing which should be done is to abide by the principles laid down in the document prepared by the presidents Dmitry Medvedev and Nicolas Sarkozy. but they have to be signed first, because we won't take Mr. Saakashvili's word for it. By the way, at the time when those principles had already been signed, a Georgian drone was shot down over South Ossetia. We're like children when it comes to the use of the mass media. We're simply children. We're trying to learn from our friends who have been accumulating this experience for decades, the experience of using the fourth estate. They show a simple picture on the screen. It is not accompanied by any deep analysis. It is accompanied by one single phrase: the Russians have invaded Georgia. Who cares that Russian peacekeepers were there in accordance with agreements signed with Tbilisi? Who cares these agreements were broken by the Georgian side, which began bombarding a city that it considered to be on its own territory? The Russians are in Georgia. It's true, but there is no need to explain what they're doing there. Or they show a picture of burning Skinvali. There is a small sign on the screen from archives, with the presenter saying that the Russians are moving from Gori towards Tbilisi. In these situations, there are always people who would like to pick up a microphone and start placing demands. It is particularly vital when an election campaign is in full swing, and neither of the candidates wants to fall behind his rivals. So each of them is fuming with rage, criticizing Russia for attempts to trample tiny Georgia, which is a U.S. ally and a beacon of democracy. I know these technologies. I worked in the United States in the 1990s. They were not so good at PR at that time, but now they've become perfect. I've already told you that Georgia is a U.S. project. That's why they're trying to incite public opinion. I will tell you one fact. When President Sarkozy was in Tbilisi, I was holding talks with Mikhail Saakashvili. Three American advisors were sitting by his side. So I can imagine what the French reaction was.
So the war is over, and now is the time for diplomats to work. I'm talking about the war with Georgia.
The Russian army received an order from the Supreme Commander-in-Chief to finish the military operation started in response to actions from Tbilisi. And it did. Now is the turn of diplomats to work, and we will work with everyone, including our Georgian colleagues, who first and foremost